this time we begin our study continuing in the life of the Apostle Paul. We want to study at this time about the first missionary journey and his residence in Antioch. This is the fourth lesson in this series of lessons concerning the life of Paul. This happened in 45 to 49 AD. Up to this point, much of Paul's life might be considered preparatory in nature. Even before his conversion, his heritage, education, and progress in the Jewish faith. After his conversion, his work in Damascus, Arabia, and Tarsus served as useful in the task the Lord had in mind for him. At this point in his life, Paul begins a series of missionary journeys that would take the gospel to regions where it had not been heard before. That would leave his mark on many regions in the Mediterranean world. The first missionary journey began at Antioch in Syria in 45 AD. The church in the city of Antioch was started by men from Cyprus and Cyrene by way of Jerusalem. In Acts 11, verse 19 through 21, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them that were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. The church in Antioch was strengthened by Barnabas, then later by the Apostle Paul. In Acts 11, verse 22, beginning, says, then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. A great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed from Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The church at Antioch was a benevolent congregation. They were concerned with Christians at other places. In Acts 11, verse 27 through 30, says, in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. The church at Antioch was blessed with a number of prophets and teachers. In Acts 13, verse 1, it mentions some of these teachers. Now the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Then there was the call of Barnabas and Paul. While ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Spirit told the prophets and teachers to separate Barnabas and Paul for the work he had given them. In Acts 13 and verse 2, says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. With fasting and prayer, the laying on of hands, they sent Barnabas and Paul on their way. In Acts 13 and verse 3, says, then having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and they sent them away. And being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And so then they traveled to the island of Cyprus, which was 45 AD. Cyprus was not an unfamiliar territory. The gospel had previously been preached in Cyprus. In Acts 11, verse 19, says, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. The church in Antioch in Syria had been started by men from Cyprus, Acts 11 and verse 20. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene. When they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Barnabas himself was from Cyprus, according to Acts 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. It's interesting that the Spirit would have Barnabas and Paul start here, perhaps a principle to be learned regarding missionary efforts. Then in the synagogue of the Salams, Barnabas and Paul preached the word of God. In Acts 13 and verse 5, and when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. They had John Mark to assist them. It would become Paul's custom to first go to the synagogues of the Jews whenever he entered a new city. In Acts 17, verses 1 through 3, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as the custom was, went in to them. For three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and to rise again from the dead, saying that Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. Then at Paphos, they encountered a false prophet. In Acts 13, verse 6 through 11, it says, and when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, full of subtlety, all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. The false prophet's name was Bar-Jesus, also called Elymas. He was a sorcerer. He was with the deputy, Sergius Paulus, and he sought to prevent Sergius Paulus from hearing the gospel of Christ. Paul saw that Paulus was full of deceit and a fraud. A son of the devil caused him to become blind for a season. Paul converted Sergius Paulus. In Acts 13 and verse 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The name of Paul is used here instead of Saul. From this point, Paul's name is mentioned first, before Barnabas. The regions of Pamphylia, Pisidia, and Lycaonia in 46 and 47 A.D. at Perga, Paul and his company arrived at Perga, a city in Pamphylia. In Acts 13, verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. At this point, John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. Because Mark left, this became a sore spot, a sore point with Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 15, verse 36 through 40, it says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted they should not take him with them. The one who had departed from them in Pamphylia had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp, they parted them from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Paul felt that Mark was unsuitable for the next journey. Then there was at Antioch in Pisidia, Paul's sermon in the synagogue. Following his custom to visit the local synagogues, he accepted an invitation to speak. In Acts 13, verse 14 through 16, it says, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, went into the synagogue the Sabbath day and sat down. After reading the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, 'Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.' Then Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, 'Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen.'" His sermon can be divided into the following points. There was a review of God's dealing with the children of Israel. There was a proclamation that Jesus is the promised Savior. The review of Jesus' death and evidence of his resurrection. A proclamation that salvation is now offered through Jesus Christ. A warning not to fulfill prophecy by rejecting God's work in Christ. The rejection by the Jews and reception by the Gentiles. The Gentiles begged for more. Even many other Jews continued to listen to Paul. But the next Sabbath, some of the Jews are envious of the large crowds and begin resisting Paul. Paul directs his attention to the Gentiles, who are more receptive to the words of teachings of Christ. There was the expulsion of the Jews in Acts 13, verse 15, 52. There was persecution is brought against Paul and Barnabas, forcing them to leave and go to Iconium. Yet the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. There in Acts 13, verse 50 through 52, it says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout, prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, expelled them from the region. They shook off the dust from their feet against them, came to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Then at Iconium, again Paul went to the local synagogue. In Acts 14 and verse 1, "It came to pass in Iconium, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Then unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles against the brethren." In Acts 14 and verse 2, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren." Paul and his companions stayed a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord with signs and wonders. In Acts 14 and verse 3, it says, "Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by his hands." The city eventually became divided between the Jews and the apostles. An attempt to stone them forced Paul and his companions to flee to Lystra and Derbe. In Acts 14, verses 4 through 7, "But the multitude of the city were divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. When there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonium, unto the region that lieth round about. There they preached the gospel at Lystra and then at Derbe. And while at Lystra, Paul heals a lame man." In Acts 14, verse 8 through 18, it says, "There sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upon thy feet.' He leaped and walked. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of the Lyconians, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you, preach unto you that you should turn from your vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all things that are therein. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium persuaded the multitude to stone Paul. In Acts 14, verses 19 and 20, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came to the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And while in Derbe, in Acts 14 and verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And then they began retracing their steps on this first missionary journey. From Derbe they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. In Acts 14, verse 21 through 23, when they had preached the gospel to that city, had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. When they had ordained them elders in every city, prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. Paul exhorts them to continue in the faith despite tribulations, and they appointed elders in every church and commended them to the Lord. And passing through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. In Acts 14, verse 24 through 26, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. When they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Athaliah, and thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Preaching in Perga, they sailed from Athaliah to Antioch, from where they started. Upon arriving in Antioch, Paul's first missionary journey was completed. It had taken about 2 years, from 45 A.D. to 47 A.D. For the next 2 years, we find Paul residing in Antioch of Syria in 48 and 49 A.D., reporting to the church all that God had done with them on their journey, how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. In Acts 14 and verse 27, and when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. I had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. It had been estimated that Paul stayed here about 2 years, based upon dating the Jerusalem conference in Acts 15 to be about 50 A.D. In conclusion to this lesson, the pattern established in his early years of service is seen in this first missionary journey of Paul. Preaching the gospel, followed by persecution. Establishing churches, followed by edification. On this journey, another pattern is becoming evident. Preaching the gospel, first to the Jews, by going into the synagogues. Preaching the gospel to the Gentiles also. Yes, many souls were saved. Churches were established. God certainly opened the door of faith to the Gentiles through the work of the Apostle Paul. He was a great man, and he was persecuted very much before his preaching the gospel of Christ. He had love for Christ, love for God, and he obeyed God, and he looked forward to that beautiful home in heaven. If there be anyone here that needs to obey the gospel, Jesus invites you to come. You must have faith in God, believe that he is. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins to God. Make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then be baptized to wash away your sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, why don't you come while we stand and sing?